ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101. We are going through summer health hazards, and what summer without a bunch of insect bites and an encounter with perhaps poison ivy and poison sumac. Here to talk about that is our next guest, Dr. Peter Paganucci, who is an emergency physician, board certified by the American College of Emergency Physicians. And he's worked for Emergency Medical Associates primarily at Reston Hospital. Welcome, and thanks for being on.
No problem. Thank you, Lee. Thanks for having me.
So let's get first to, you know, poison ivy and prevention of poison ivy and what it is. It happens all the time. But talk a little bit about, there is that little rhyme, leaves of three, leave them be, but that doesn't cover all the poisonous plants, like sumac doesn't look like poison oak or poison ivy. But what is it about those plants that causes a problem for people?
It's the sap. I see so many people over the years practicing in Virginia. There's poison ivy everywhere. And even if you don't see the leaves, if you're doing some yard work and you're cleaning out some underbrush, the plants tend to be vine-like. So if you're pulling out a bunch of what look like dead vines, those dead vines often have sap still within the plant structure itself, and it's the sap that causes the skin irritation.
Yeah, so it's that chemical, urushiol or something that's in it that can do it. And how, you know, there are some lucky people that aren't sensitive to it, right? But about half of the population is sensitive to it. But then there's some poor people that really just get a really bad reaction. Is that an allergy beyond what the plant, the contact dermatitis from the plant?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And I've actually looked this up, and it's unclear. There are some people that do seem to be much more sensitive to the sap. There are people who sometimes joke, they say, all I have to do is walk past the poison ivy plant, and I get it. There's other people who can roll around in it and don't seem to get it quite as badly. I think it's probably is an allergic type phenomenon. It's not unlike maybe shellfish, where some people can eat it and some people can't. But the sap itself is somewhat caustic, and just about anybody, if you get enough of it on your skin, especially if it's on broken skin, especially if you're working, you're hot and sweaty, your pores are open, that stuff gets, once it gets under the dermis, then you've got the reaction.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the rash for people. And sometimes, you know, I guess if you're super sensitive, it could happen pretty quick. But some people, you know, they've done their weeding, and then, you know, the next day they got this little itchy thing. And, you know, so it's not that evident right away. But talk about what people should look for or make them think of poison ivy if they see it.
Well, certainly if you've been outside working and then you catch yourself scratching a couple of hours later, you know, being cognizant of the fact that it could be a bug bite, but sometimes poison ivy, the first couple of bumps that pop up, they look like bug bites. And so it's easy to assume you have a mosquito bite. But when there's two, three, four, five of them, especially, poison ivy tends to start looking a bit linear. So you'll see streaks of it where the sap came in contact with the skin. So that's kind of the difference. But, you know, if you catch yourself itching, if something's red, if something's raised, if it looks like it's in streaks or stripes, then you'd have to be more suspicious that it's a plant dermatitis.
Yeah, and then eventually it goes on to form fluid-filled blisters. But I want to talk a little bit about some myths because, you know, people think because sometimes they start getting it in other places on their body, they think that this rash or blister is contagious. But that's not true, is it?
That's correct. The fluid that leaks from the blister is edema from the reaction in the skin. It's not carrying any contagion. What happens is the places on your skin that were touched with the sap are the places that tend to activate. So if you've got some on your hands and some on the back of your neck, when you wipe the sweat off your neck, it might start on the back of your neck, and then people will come in and say, look, it spread to my hands. What's happened is it's just activated, and you begin to develop that histamine response that creates the reaction. But it is a myth that you touch somebody who has poison ivy and you don't get it yourself. Now, this is assuming they've washed. So if you're outside doing yard work, one of the best things you can do is, as soon as you're done, jump in the shower, rinse off. It's the longer the contact time with the sap, the more likely to create the reaction with the skin.
Yeah, and the other issue that people don't realize, and I remember seeing a patient once, and it would clear it up, and then again, she came in, her mother, it was on her leg, and it turned out this little girl had walked through a field. The poison ivy, the chemical, that resin, was on her purse when she walked through the field. And every time she put this cloth bag on, and it was rubbing on her leg, one leg or the other, she kept getting new poison ivy rashes. And that's what people don't realize. It could be on your pets, it could be on your clothes, your garden tools. And I've seen some studies say that, you know, even dead plants can have that chemical for up to years later when they're lying around or something.
Yes, absolutely. I remember a case myself a few years back. A gentleman was clearing out a rental property. He had took a bunch of debris, dead wood, dead vines, as he put it, put them in a big pile, lit a fire, stood over the fire, and the smoke wafted up in his face, and he developed one of the worst cases of poison ivy I'd ever seen. It was all over his face, it was all over the top of his head, and his neck.
Oh, yeah. Totally dangerous.
You bring up a good point. If you've got a pet, especially a dog, a big dog running through the woods, you go, you play kissy face with the dog later. If the dog has sap all over him, you will get the sap on you. I mean, and I think that's the point to drive home, Lee. You make it well. It's the sap, the sap, the sap. It's the resin from the plant that causes the problem. And if the leaves are there or not, it makes no difference. So.
Yeah, that's true. And then what about, so most of it does get better on its own, but what do you have people do? Take the Benadryls and steroid creams and things like that?
Absolutely. I think if it's a relatively small, confined area, a couple of things. One of the great treatments is an over-the-counter treatment that people aren't very aware of. It's called Domboro powder, D-O-M-E-B-O-R-O. Domboro powder, it comes in powder packets. It comes with a mind-numbing list of instructions, but it's really quite simple. If you take one of those powder packets and a glass of water, about 8 ounces, dump the powder in there, stir it up, mix it good. An old cotton t-shirt, preferably one that's white with no dye in it, cut it up in strips, soak it in the Domboro, wring it a little bit, but you'd like the cloth to be a little drippy, slap it on those places. It's an excellent astringent. It has antimicrobial properties. And it's really a very, very soothing preparation. The nice thing about Domboro is if something is going to get worse, it will get worse on its own. Domboro is really pretty safe on our skin, and it rarely will react with somebody's skin. So it's really a great compound. What I also tell people is to take extra cotton, stick it in the fridge and Ziploc bag so you can pull it out. It's cold. You can put it on your skin.
Okay, good advice. I want to thank my guest. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.